reporting questions. I don't know the answer. I also am not entirely sure of the extent of school capture. And when we talk about capture, what we're talking about is that the resources of the state, which should be going towards the betterment of people's lives, whether we're talking sanitation or housing or education, that significant amounts of those state resources are being diverted for malign intent. Anne Bernstein, head of the Centre for Development and Enterprise, is with us to talk about school capture. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, John. Morning to the listeners.
How serious is the problem?
Well, we think it's very serious, and we're not alone. So the Minister of Basic Education appointed a task team to look into allegations in the media about principal and teacher positions being sold for money in 2014. In 2016, her own task team reported on what they had discovered, and these were shocking findings. They discovered that SATU is in de facto charge of the management, administration, and priorities of education in six and possibly more of the nine provinces. Just think about that for a moment. They also found that all deputy directors general at the time were SATU members, frequently attending union meetings. The minister herself said that the South African schooling system was in a stranglehold that teachers' unions had over it. And the even more shocking thing is that nothing has happened to implement the task team's recommendations since then. Corruption Watch says that education is one of the top three areas in which they get complaints about corruption all the time. So we think it is serious. We're saying two things. We're saying we've got to deal with cadre deployment into the education bureaucracy, and we have to do with corruption. And they're different, you know, when we're not saying the one is exactly the same as the other.
Does it matter what the quality is of the people that are cadre deployed? It may well be that 90% or 80% or 66% or worryingly 40 or 30% are competent to do the job into which they have been put primarily or significantly because they are SATU members? Or is it just, it really doesn't matter, the system is wrong and needs to be changed?
I think there are at least two big issues here. The one is, if you're a decent principal or a teacher who's come up through merit, the fact that somebody else who is not a merit appointment can just come in at a high level, principal or another teacher, must be very depressing to the system. And leading researchers say it makes other teachers despondent about the system. But there's another consequence as well. We say effectively we're having, unions running our education system. And this is very complicated. You have to have a distinction between management and teachers' union. And what happened in the education system is the Minister of Education came in 2009, and she initially tried to do some important things, some important reforms. She introduced an investigative unit to really get to know what was happening in the system, and that was independent. And she introduced national assessments every year of every single school. So you could really see what was happening from grades 1 to 9. But over the course of time, the unions opposed all of this. They didn't want this, and she caved in. The government caved in. And we don't really have any of this kind of information to make people accountable, and it's complicated in the system now. So the fact that there's this confusion between, if you like, management, the bureaucracy, and the teachers' unions has very important consequences. And we're saying it's really time to deal with this.
It's beyond time to deal with it. I mean, if the problem is as serious as identified by the minister's own task team and by Corruption Watch, then it's beyond time. And you do have to, I think it's reasonable to ask the question, if nothing is being done to fix problems which have been identified not by an outside actor with maybe malevolent intent, but by the government itself, then what is the reason for that? Why is no action being taken? Why is the situation as bad, if not worse, than it was when the problem was identified 7 years ago?
A very good question. Plus, we have now had COVID, and how we dealt with COVID, the pandemic, the lockdown, and education. And this has had enormous consequences in many countries, not just South Africa, for the quality of learning in our schools. So today, the leading researchers in South Africa are saying that today's average 10-year-old knows less than the average pre-COVID 9-year-old in our schools. Now, you have to say, what's the plan to deal with that? Now, one of the other things that I think our work has unraveled, for me at any rate, is that, you know, we often get these statistics of how South African learners do tests, international tests, and we come at the bottom or in the bottom three countries. And it's not because of our particular terrible apartheid history or that we have very poor communities. There are many other countries that are poorer than South Africa, spend proportionately less money than South Africa, and yet they are beating us on these international tests. And you have to say to yourself, well, one of the reasons is that we have this enormous system which doesn't manage performance in any way at all. And that must have a consequence on how teachers do their job and how they assess themselves. So if the minister herself says, for example, that we have the highest teacher absenteeism rate in all the SADC countries. So there are reasons why we do so badly. They're not the only ones, and they're complex. But it's time to start dealing with the fundamental system-wide causes of why we provide such terrible education for so many people in our schools.
Anne Bernstein, thanks for talking to us this morning, head of the Centre for Development and Enterprise.
EWN Traffic.
Happening now, congestion on the N2 outbound.